Amen. Praise God for his love and praise God for his greatness, that because of his omnipotence, his love is unending and his love is enough for us. I know many of you over the course of the summer, you have had the opportunity to just get out in God's creation, and we're doing a series from the book of Proverbs, and Solomon was the wisest man on the earth, the Bible tells us. He sought from God wisdom, and in getting that wisdom, he had a great interest in nature and creation. And so often you'll find in the Proverbs, Solomon weaving this theme in as he teaches his son and as he teaches young people coming behind him to look at the awesomeness and the greatness of God revealed in creation and realize that same God that put the world together is the only power great enough to put your life together. He created you. And he has the wisdom to direct your path. The wisest thing you'll ever do is get under God's authority. Find out what direction God is going in your life and go with God. I've shared with you before, some of you have had this privilege of being in a really, really dark place with no electric lights around and seeing the Milky Way in all of its splendor. I've had that opportunity on a backpacking trip up into Colorado when I was a youth pastor. And just amazed, just in awe, as you look at the creation of God and you see the universe from this limited viewpoint, you see the Milky Way and the shining of the stars and the lights in the sky. I've had that privilege up in Canada also on a unique time when it was just a dark night, no lights around other than God's lights. And to see that Milky Way, to see the falling stars and the beauty of it all, it puts you in an awe and a respect for really how small we are and how great God is. And I think there are different moments in your life when you have that sense of awe. I know being present for the birth of our children, in the miracle of birth, the miracle of life. And you say to yourself, how could anyone not believe in God? How could anyone not believe that there's a creator, that there's a designer, that all of this didn't just happen? But this is the handiwork of God. Well, Solomon saw that. God gave him wisdom, and he saw the fingerprint of God all around him. He saw it in creation, and he saw it in Scripture, and he saw it in a faith relationship with God. And he seeks then to pass that on to the next generation. He wants his son to realize that this world, in your very body, in everything in this world, was wisdom made. And therefore, you need to be wisdom run. You need to come under God's authority and allow God, who is omnipotent, by your own choice of heart and will, to submit to him, submit to his leadership and his direction in your life. I read a little article this last week in the newspaper, the advice column, Dear Abby, and it was an atheist who had written in. And this atheist was just complaining about a lack of purpose in life, a lack of joy, a lack of a reason for living. And the advice given was typical advice, and that is, well, get involved helping other people who are more needy than you. And so obviously it's just good human reasoning. You need to get your eyes off yourself and on others. And yeah, that'll help you. That'll give you somewhat of a sense of purpose. But obviously the advice didn't go far enough. And that is, the fact that we were created in God's image, and God in himself, as we've talked about previously, is relational. God said, let us make man in our own image. Within the Trinity, there is relationship. And so God created us in his image with a need for relationship. We need to be rightly related first to God. Then we can become properly related to others as he gives us wisdom through his word, because we live in a fallen world where sin has messed up the design of God, and now we need the grace of God to come back to the designer and follow his pattern and his plan for our lives. I love the illustration I've shared with you before of the fact that God every day is screaming out to us of his existence, his presence, that if you were to look at a set of leather-bound Shakespeare's volumes, you wouldn't say, oh, look at the result of an explosion in a print shop. You know, if you were to walk out in the woods and find a beautiful Rolex watch, You wouldn't look at that and say, oh my, look at the result of millions and millions of years of chaos. And out of it came this watch. No, you'd say, no, there's a binder and a printer who put those books together. There's a designer and an engineer who put that watch together. And then you look at this universe and you look at our world and you look at your human body and you look at the design and that it's all held together. And you say, yes, there is a God in heaven. There is a creator. And this is what Solomon was sharing with his son, is look out and see what's around you and recognize the hand of God. And then submit to the hand of God in your life. Well, the wisdom and creativity of God, it's all around us, isn't it? I love to get out. That's one of the reasons I love this season of the year, because you go out and you see all the variety in the plants. Well, how did that come about? The design, the beauty. You see all the design in the animals, the creation, tigers and lions and owls and loons. And you see all these beautiful creations and you say, that didn't just happen. And then you just look at people. People created in the image of God with a capacity to worship, to create, to understand on a level far beyond any of the rest of creation. And you realize, yes, there is a God. The Bible makes sense. And God is speaking to me and wants a relationship with me. And that is the message of Solomon here in the scripture, is that if we're going to get rightly related to each other, first we have to be rightly related to our Creator God. And that's why this book was written. The book of Proverbs, written to give wisdom to people of all age groups, but particularly for young people, young adults, young married couples, trying to figure out, well, what am I going to do with my life? There's so many demands. Where will I set the priorities of my life? Where will I fix my eyes? And Solomon has learned and did learn the hard way. He learned from God in his youth, but he learned through his own errors and mistakes. Put God first in your life. Put wisdom first in your life. So we've already seen together in our study in Proverbs 8 that wisdom is God's key to joy. You want a joyful life? Everyone wants joy. There's a difference between happiness, just the happiness of circumstances, and joy. Joy is an inward relationship with God that regardless of the circumstances, God sustains you with the fruit of the Spirit, joy. And we learn together that God is the source of joy, that there's joy within the Godhead. And there's joy when God created what he created, the world around us. There's joy in the heart of God in the plan of redemption when he knew man created in his image would turn away from God. He made a plan to redeem man. And the Bible tells us who for the joy that was set before him, Christ came for the joy that it would bring glory back to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit when people would repent of their sin and be forgiven and brought back into a right relationship with God. That brings joy to the heart of God every time a sinner repents and believes. But there's also joy in the heart of God when we grow in grace to become more like God's Son, Jesus. This glorifies God. There's joy in the heart of God whenever a believer goes home to heaven, because there's joy in the presence of the angels. So God's joy in our heart is what life is all about, learning what really matters. And so we're learning wisdom's ways. Now, we saw also in Proverbs 1 that we're to choose wisely. That at the very beginning and outset of our day, of our heart, of our life, we need to choose the fear of the Lord. We said the fear of the Lord is not a run away from God fear, but it's an affectionate reverence of God. And that there are two paths to go. You can choose to go your own way. And because our hearts are sinful through the fall, you'll end in destruction. You'll waste your life. Or you can choose to follow God's wisdom way for your life. So we've learned that wisdom is a choice. Then in Proverbs chapter 2, we see that wisdom is something we have to search after. Like a gold miner or a silver miner makes every sacrifice to get that wealth out of the earth, we need to have a heart to say, God, I want your wisdom. And I'm going to seek your wisdom in my life. I'm going to be a wisdom seeker all the days of my life. Well, that brings us today to Proverbs chapter 3. If you'll turn there with me in your Bible, Proverbs 3. And in this proverb, we're going to see together these two simple concepts, yet profound, that we're wisdom made and we need to be wisdom run. God created this world. He created us by his wisdom. And then our lives need to be led and directed by his wisdom. So in Proverbs chapter 3, notice with me, first of all, number one, God created everything you see by wisdom. Were wisdom made? Look with me at verse 19. God by his wisdom founded the earth. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth. By understanding hath he established the heavens. Now, I've shared with you previously, these themes will flow over and over through the book of Proverbs. Solomon is teaching and reteaching. These are things he shared with his son by inspiration from God. And these messages, especially in these first nine chapters, certain themes flow out over and over again. That it's God who founded the earth. Well, I love it when we go back to this little cabin up in Canada, and I see things that I've seen year after year, but I've been gone for a year. I mean, that place freezes over in the winter. All the leaves fall off the trees, except for the evergreens. And yet you come back after all the storms and all the change, and there's the pine tree shooting up till it looks like it reaches up into the sky. And you say, look at that. God sustained that pine tree through another year. And then you go by cliffs where you'll see rocks and trees. And there's that cave going into the side of that cliff. It's still there. It's right there. I love to tell our grandkids stories about the gold treasure that's hidden up in that cave. I just never have gone to get it yet. But you come back by these certain, there's a certain island we go past, and it's got a pine tree that's bent over. And it's a pointer. It points right toward where our cabin is. And I always look every year. Is it still there? And it's there. It's standing. And God sustains his creation. And you see these things. And it amazes you how God holds this world together. Well, it took wisdom for God to found things that work. Some of us have the gift of breaking things. A few of you have the gift of fixing things. It really takes wisdom. It takes a lot of intelligence to fix stuff. And to make stuff work, I always respect that in people. Well, you know what? It took wisdom for God to create hydrology, to create photosynthesis, to create climate and weather patterns, germination, conception, birth, and life. It took intelligence far beyond ours. We can appreciate it, but God's is infinite. Today, I was just hearing in the news this last week, they're excited about engineers, and it is a wonderful thing, who've developed prosthetic arms and hands. Now, where they have put wires inside that will stimulate just like muscles and ligaments. And so now, people who've lost their limbs are able to feed themselves again. What a wonderful thing. What a miraculous thing that man can design these things. Well, when man seeks to come up with a design, what does he do? He goes back and copies what God did in the first place. God is the master designer. Man is just trying to copy what God did, and our best copies still fall short. And so workable concepts come from God. Have you stopped today to just say, thank you, God, for my hands? Thank you. Thank you that I can pick things up. Thank you for their dexterity and how you created them. It's an amazing marvel of God's creation. Thank you for what you've given me. So God, by wisdom, founded this earth and everything in it. Also, God, by his understanding, established the heavens. Notice that also in verse 19. He established the heavens, the expanse, when you look out, the universe. I was reading a little article from space.com entitled, Did Hubble Discover God? And here's what it said. A finite universe has a finite size that can be measured. That would be the case in a closed spherical universe. But an infinite universe has no size by definition. According to NASA, scientists know that the universe is flat with only about a 0.4% margin of error. This was as of 2013, man's reasoning. A flat universe is an infinite universe. Thus, the size of the universe is infinite. Wikipedia states the observable universe is about 28 billion parsecs, or 91 billion light years in diameter. That's the observable universe at the present time. The size of the whole universe is not known and may be infinite. It goes on to say the universe is ever expanding. Well, isn't it interesting that man, at his best, with all of the knowledge that is multiplying today, can't fully grasp what God created? We have an infinite God, and he created something bigger than we'll ever fully grasp, because God is bigger than we are. That sense of awe, that sense of respect and reverence for how small we really are, that needs to be in our heart. That's what God wants us to have in our hearts. The world system that chooses to not believe God and seeks to remove God out of the equation of thinking says that everything came from nothing. Now that makes a lot of sense. And then secondly, they say, and it all started with a big bang, a big explosion. Now, in my foolish days of my youth, I did play a few times with firecrackers, I will admit. And I also will acknowledge that any time I was playing with firecrackers, anything that exploded in my presence never created life, nor did it create anything of value. It did a lot of destruction, but it didn't do a whole lot of good. The engineered sustainability of our planet Earth in the midst of a universe that can't be measured, it didn't just happen. There is a creator, there is a designer, a sustainer who's holding it all together, just like the Bible says. Well, the key pursuit then that Solomon is going to thrust upon his son here in Proverbs 3 is to seek wisdom. Now, he's going to come to this theme over and over again. But son, seek to look at life from God's viewpoint. Seek wisdom. The wisdom of the ages is to find out what direction God is going and go with God. And so with that theme in mind, his thought then is to help his son be awed over the greatness of God and fall in love with God and say, God, I want your wisdom in my life. I want your word to direct my life. The creation endures century after century, millennium after millennium. The point being, let God's wisdom direct your life. And then you're secure. Your future is secure, not just for this life, but for eternity. But build your life on man's wisdom, which leaves out God, and you're building on a faulty foundation of insecurity, instability that ends in death. Well, with those thoughts in mind, notice this further thought then, that God, by his knowledge, keeps watering and sustaining the earth. Look at verse 20. By his knowledge, the depths are broken up and the clouds drop down dew. Now, as I've shared with you before, one of the things I most enjoy is getting out in God's creation where you have an unobstructed view of the skyline. Now, you get that when you're on a big lake because you can see a long way. And what you're able to observe so much more clearly, some of you live out in the country and you see this because you don't have all the trees right in front of your face, and you can watch the fronts come in. You watch the clouds. You watch when the rain is coming. And you see all of creation before you, this system that God has created with the clouds, the rainy and windy days. But if you didn't get the rain, there would be no food. There'd be no crops. There'd be no sustainability. We go to visit some of our kids who live out west, and it's a desert out there. I mean, they'd all dry up and blow away if they didn't have rivers flowing from areas that get water. And without air conditioning and water, nobody'd live out there. But a lot of people live out there because they pipe it all in. And as you know, there's parts out there that are praying for water right now. So man's best systems are simply copies of God, the hydrological system of the clouds, the rain, the dew, the rivers, the lakes, the recycling of the water that sustains life. With all of our accumulated knowledge and seemingly human power, we can't control the weather. We have programs about it all the time, just warning you ahead of time so you can be prepared, because we can't control that. Well, praise God for what he does through the weather. Even though we live in a fallen world that's even affected the weather patterns and the creation about us, the rain brings life. It brings cleansing. It brings hope and joy. What a marvel it is just in the fact, I kind of like living in Michigan. We have green. You walk around right now, this is a beautiful state, isn't it? It's green around here. Why? We get rain, and we need rain. And so the rain and the dew make the difference between life and death, fruitfulness and barrenness, famine and the ability to feed your family. So through the storms and the difficulties of life, even spiritually, God can work good in our lives, and we need to pray for God to send the blessing spiritually in our life, even as we pray for rain to come to bring the crops. Now, in the Old Testament, God at times withheld the rain from the nation of Israel. In other causes, times of judgment, when people turned away from God, God said, I know how to get your attention. I know how to get you praying. I'll just turn off the spigot. And so we need the grace of God even to be sustained physically on this earth. Well, we've seen together that we are wisdom made. And I hope you realize that. I hope you realize this earth didn't just happen. My body didn't just happen. This universe didn't just happen. God made it. Now, the second thought, then I need God to run my life. Only God knows how he created me, how he gifted me, how he wired me. And my life owes God glory. He's the creator, and I'm not going to live for my glory. Whatever talents and gifts God gave me, he can take them back in a second. Whatever he's given me, my life, my breath, I give it back to God. I want to live to the glory of God. I want to live under his wisdom for my life. That's what Solomon was seeking to teach. I pray we are good learners. Notice this. Wisdom comes from the teachings of God's word. In verse 1, my son, forget not my law, and let thy heart keep my commandments. So here's your head. Fill your head up with truth, Bible truth. Don't forget my law. You get busy in life. Don't forget my law. Let my law be in your mind, my word, and let your heart keep my commandments. Your heart speaks of your inner being, the core of your soul. So your affections, your will, your whole total person. Love God. Love God with all of your heart. That's what God wants. So it is in our lives. God is looking for this balance of a head and heart and soul all given back over to God. Right thinking, right loving and affection. Notice the words, do not forget. Well, what does a wise young person do early in life? They just decide in the priorities of life, I've got a lot of things I can do with my days, but I'm going to give God my mind. I am going to fill my head with Scripture. I'm going to renew my mind with Scripture daily. How do you make your body stronger? You exercise. How do you make your faith stronger? You exercise your mind by meditating in Scripture. And if you will choose daily to meditate in Scripture, God promises success in your life. That's one of those unconditional promises. Psalm 1, Joshua 1, 8, and 9. You meditate in my word day and night, murmur it back in your soul. Let my thinking become your thinking. Renew your mind to think like God thinks, and I will prosper. I will bless your life. That's the promise of God. Well, it's such a blessing to have living examples of this. Now, no one is perfect, only Jesus. I was at Lowe's Friday after going to the soccer game, and one of the employees came up to me, and this gentleman said, hey, I knew your dad well. He said, you know, I always was so blessed of how your dad had a joyful spirit, and he always carried gospel tracts right there in his pocket, and he was always talking to people about Jesus. And just him sharing that with me brought back some good memories. You see, I was blessed with a daddy who sought to know God's wisdom daily. And then he sought to share God's wisdom daily with others. What a wonderful example that was for me. What a privilege that was for me. As he was saved in his 20s and then he never got over it. He never got over his conversion. Oh, God help us never to get over the fact God loves me. And I have a relationship with him. My parents wrote in my Bible when I was young, this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. Boy, are those wise words. And so what Solomon is saying to his son here is, let my law be in your mind every day. You can be in a Christian school, in a good Christian church, in a good Christian youth group, and hear it from others. But God wants you to choose to make it your priority. That is, you choose to get into the word for your soul. That's when things start to really connect. That's when the dots really start to come together, because God wants your head and your heart, not just you in a good environment, but you knowing him and loving him by your own choice. Keep my commandments, that is, your will. I'm going to understand what God wants. When I know what he wants, I'm going to do it. I'm going to obey what God says. That's the key to success in life. And so it is, I was thinking as I was at the lake this summer of the obvious, and that is perspective. Have you ever noticed when you're on the shoreline and a boat goes away from you, it starts off big, and the further it gets, the smaller it gets until it disappears. Perspective. That happens too with a car on land. You're right up close, it drives away, and the further away it gets, the smaller it gets until it disappears. That's perspective, human perspective. I was thinking about that in a spiritual realm, and that is this. Every day I live, I need a fresh, upfront, up-close perspective of God's love for me, God's wisdom for me, God's plan for me. Why? Because as I neglect the Bible and neglect being in God's presence through prayer and worship, God can begin to get distant. He seems distant to me. Now, he hasn't changed, but my perspective has changed. I need a right up front, close, face-to-face relationship with Jesus every day through his word. And so it is, familiarity can breed a contempt. We say, well, I've heard all these things. Do you know God's infinite? You should never get bored with God. There is so much more about God and his word for you and me to know. We can spend 50 lifetimes and still be digging deeper to know God more intimately. And we still will have only scratched the surface. There's no reason to be bored with your Christianity. Go deeper with God. If you've gotten bored, it's not because God's not interesting. He's infinite. He is not boring. God is amazing. And your need is to choose to go deeper in your relationship with God. Get that fresh perspective back daily through the Word of God. Now, if you will make this choice, daily remembering God and his Word, what will happen in your life? It'll bring your faith afresh daily. It'll give you a desire to obey, and it'll bless you. Look at verse 2. For length of days and long life and peace, they shall add to you. Now, people all around us are so desperate for peace. People are trying to get peace in alcohol. People are trying to get peace in drugs. They're just trying to settle the confusion and the turmoil of their heart. People are trying to find peace through pleasure in illicit sex or illicit entertainment. People are looking to settle the issues of the heart the wrong way. Peace comes from God. Peace comes from a right relationship with God. God can bring peace into your heart. You can't put a price on that. It's worth everything in the world to just have peace with God, have the peace of God. God can lengthen your days. He made the sun stand still. He can bring a peace in your heart, and through meditating in Scripture, bring a peace to your soul daily as you pray about the difficulties of life, bring you into a right relationship with himself and a right relationship with others. Look at verse 3. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the table of your heart. Well, think about this. God is the source of mercy and truth. I need mercy and truth in my life every day. It comes from God. Now, it protects then your neck and your heart. You go into battle, a mortal wound was to your neck or to your heart. You got to protect. Well, God's mercy and truth will protect you. Love God with all your heart, and you'll be in a place of protection. Remember one of our evangelists sharing that he had personally counseled with 5 different pastors and good men who loved God but went off the tracks into immorality and lost their ministry. And he said the one commonality in all 5 of those pastors who messed up was they got into just doing their job, preparing sermons, working with people, but they all neglected their personal time with God for their own soul, their own time of prayer and Bible study for their own soul to be maintained. And in all 5 cases, that was the commonality. That's what Solomon is saying. Guard your heart. Let mercy and truth not be forsaken in your life. Keep that in your heart daily. And so this is what God would have for us. Look at verse 4. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding or success in the sight of God and man. So here's wisdom's way. Look at life from God's viewpoint. Love God. Put him first in your daily life by your choice. And as you draw near to God, God will draw near to you. And you know what? He is going to give you blessing in the sight of God, your vertical relationship, and man, your horizontal relationship. He's going to bless you in all of your relationships because you've chosen to put him first. That's the promise of God. See, it's God who opens up doors and opportunities. He knows how he wired you. And as your relationship with him deepens, he'll open the doors for your gifts and abilities to be used to God's glory in an eternal way. And he will maximize your effectiveness in your life. That's what Solomon is saying. So wisdom comes through the teaching of the Bible. Therefore, I decide in my heart, the Bible is going to have a priority place in my life every day. Not because somebody made me, because I choose wisdom's path. Secondly, wisdom comes by the choice to trust God. It's not just the Bible in my head, but it's the Bible in my heart. That I choose to believe, I choose to submit, I choose to love. Trust in the Lord, verse 5, with all thy heart, all your inner core of your being. Lean not to your own understanding. There's your head again. Bring your head under God's control, your mind under God's thinking. Lean not to your own understanding. Proverbs 28:26 says this, he that trusts in his own heart is a fool, but happy is the man whose trust is in the Lord. So here's the balance God wants for you. This humble dependence that genuinely says every day, Lord, without you, I can do nothing. Nothing of eternal good will be done through my life to God's glory. I can't do it in my power, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So Lord, you show me what you want me to do today, and I'll step out in faith to do it. But I'm obeying you with a humble dependence on you to bring the blessing. That's the balance. That's what God wants for each of us. Solomon wanted that for his son, and that's what God wants for us. Now, that means we're going to have some tough times in our life when we won't understand what's going on. We're going to have to trust when we can't trace. That'll happen in every life. Why? We live in a fallen world. God has allowed the choice of man, which brought sin into the world, and sin brought death. And so servant leaders, which we all should be, Christ-like, are willing to be vulnerable. Lord, I'm willing to love God and love others, and guess what? I'm going to get hurt in the process. Bad things will happen in a fallen world. I need a tough hide and a tender heart. And I'm going to be rejected at times. I'm going to be misunderstood at times. And so it is, I need to be willing, when I'm wrong, to admit it, not get defensive. I have someone to please, and that's the Lord. But I'm going to seek to bring my life in line with the Spirit and the Word daily. But what does God want? My heart. Bind these things on your heart. He wants my mind. Lean not to your own understanding. His disciples started going away because they couldn't understand things in John 6. And Jesus turned to the 12 and he said, will you also go away? They said, who can we go to? You have the words of truth. Settle it in your mind and heart that when those difficult times come, there is no other place to go. Christ is my rock. When I understand and when I don't understand, I will trust him. Look at the things Job went through. How could he know the bigger picture that was going on in the spiritual realm? Yet God had a plan for good that he worked out in Job's life, even though he lost almost everything. A single missionary lady, I heard her testimony. She was raped when rebels overran a mission station, and she struggled after that. How in a fallen world that would happen in her life? And as she prayed and sought God and studied the Bible, it was as if the Holy Spirit laid on her heart, will you trust me for something you may never understand? And she said, yes, God, I will. I will trust you for something in this life I may never understand. Things will come in your life, yet God is still good. And in a fallen world where bad things happen, you can trust God to work good out of bad things for them that love him. Believe and keep believing. The context of this trusting then, lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, is the word of God. You're putting the word of God into your life. It's bringing favor with God and man in your relationship with him. You're giving God your mind. You see, the soldiers wear the dog tags to constantly remind them of who they are and that they're on mission. The kings in the Old Testament were commanded, write out by hand your own copy of the Bible. The Old Testament law, keep it with you and meditate in it daily. Why? That'll show you how to live. That'll show you how to have wisdom. And so we need to have this memorizing and meditating in God's word daily, making the Bible your first book in your life. Carry it on your phone, on your tablet, in your pocket, in your purse. Carry it in your heart. Look to it frequently throughout the day. Don't ignore it in private, in public, at church. Let the Bible be your book. Bleed Bible. When somebody pricks you, Bible ought to flow out of you because you're just filled with Scripture. The discipline of reading and meditating in the Proverbs is something I was challenged with in my youth, and I'm thankful that's been a good discipline for my mind and heart. To so let God's mind be stamped in our mind and God's image stamped on our image, that we would grow to be more and more like Him. Notice verse 6, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. What a great promise. You see, God wants my mind. He wants my heart, the core of my being that includes my affections, my emotions, and He wants my will. He wants me to make a choice. Choose to acknowledge Him. Remember that it was Joshua who said to God's people when they were pulled different ways, will I live for this purpose or this purpose? He says, choose you this day whom you will serve. But then he set the right example. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He wasn't undecided. He wasn't wishy-washy. I'm going to serve God. That's the purpose of my life. I'm going to glorify God. I'm going to live for God. Make that choice and then follow that choice in your life. God will bless. One of my favorite places up in Canada is at this Lake Mantinenda. There's a little blind river falls. And whenever we go there, you have to beach the boat down below on the beach. And then it's a steep climb up a narrow path with good steep drop-offs to get up to where the waterfalls is. And so this year, as we were heading toward the waterfalls, Cheryl shared with me that she was a little nervous about walking that path. And I've walked it often, and I assured her, I said, honey, we can make it. And I'll tell you what, I will hold on to you, and I will walk with you every step of that path. And she trusted me. She said, okay, I hung in here with this guy this long. I guess I'll hang in here a little longer. And so I did it. I hung right on to her, and we walked up that steep path. We got up to the waterfalls, and boy, did we have a good time. And we caught fish, and we had a great time. But you know what? I was thinking about that. Isn't that a lot like the life of faith? I mean, a lot of things come into our life that are intimidating. They're scary. God calls us to do certain things, and we say, God, I can't do that. And in our own strength, we couldn't. But then God says, look, I'm going to go with you. I'm going to hold your hand. I'm going to be right there with you. And if I am leading you to take this step of faith, you can do this thing. And then by grace through faith, we believe God. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Where is God prompting you to take that next step of faith? To step out and believe God and obey God. You're intimidated. You're scared. You're nervous. Get your eyes off yourself and your eyes on God. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Believe Him. Choose to trust His word. Step out in faith and watch God bring the blessing. Well, in part two of this message, we'll look at the fact that God rewards those who humbly obey and put Him first, and the fact that wisdom brings correction and many blessings. But suffice it for our message today to say this. This whole world and we ourselves are wisdom made. God made it all. He sustains it all. Because we're wisdom made, we need to be wisdom run. And one of the wisest things you'll ever do is to figure that out early and say, you know what, I'm not going to run my own life. I'm not going to choose my own mate. I'm not going to choose my own career. I'm not going to choose what school I go to after high school. I'm not going to choose my own vocation. God made me. He's got the wisdom to direct me. And I, by God's grace, want a life that's wisdom run. Now, having decided that, how is God going to give you that wisdom? Number one, He's going to give it to you through the Bible. Therefore, you decide, you know what? I'm going to get in the Bible every day. And I want to challenge all of us here. Many of you are already in this habit, but some of you are not, and this could change your life. Set your alarm 20 minutes earlier, starting today or tomorrow, and get prayerfully into your Bible for 20 minutes and just make it a way of life. I'm going to live this way. I am going to get in my Bible to find God's wisdom for my day daily. It will change your life. God will talk to you through the Bible. And you can talk to God in prayer. And instead of you, a blind person, trying to find your way through life, God himself, with all of his wisdom, will begin to direct your path. Get the Bible into your life daily. Then number two, what you read and pray over. Ask God to give you the faith to believe it, to act upon it. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. What is it that God is prompting you to believe God for, to step out on faith and do it? Then do it. Step out by faith, because God will hold your hand, he'll walk with you, and he'll carry you through to the place of blessing in your life. Wisdom made, wisdom run. Make that choice in your heart to the glory of God.